May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 771. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Hymn 771.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 3 and 4. Hebrews, chapters 3 and 4. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to our souls and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. O Lord, teach us now to pray. Oh, we pray for the help, the aid, the influence, yea, the gift of the Holy Ghost, that real prayer may be indicted, that we may ask aright, according to thy holy will. O Lord, that we might seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Lord, may thy presence be known and felt here this night. For we would see Jesus. And oh, for that eye of faith, to look up, to see no man save Jesus only. And oh, that our hearts might be touched, that our hearts might be softened, yea, that our hearts might be prepared to receive thy word. And O Lord, do send thy Holy Spirit to blow that gale of grace upon us this night, to take of the things of Jesus and to apply them with divine power upon our hearts. We pray for the application of thy word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I do please, and prosper in the thing whereto I do send it. And all might it be our mercy to be a recipient this night of thy word. Oh, may faith be mixed with what we hear. Oh, may there be that living faith wrought in our hearts. For we read, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. Lord, that we be found diligent seekers. Oh, being favoured once again to enter here into thine earthly courts. Oh, might we be found diligent seekers, seeking Jesus. Oh, Lord, oh, do come and bless us this night. Come and make the place of thy feet glorious. O Lord Jesus, draw near and come with us, for without thee we can do nothing. We're so dependent upon thee, upon thy help, upon thy blessing, upon thy appearing. Lord, be better to us than all that we deserve and all of our fears. For we deserve nothing. We are sinners, guilty sinners. We have sinned against thee. We have broken thy holy commandments. We have not kept thy law. Oh, Lord, but have mercy upon us, we pray. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Dear Lord, remember each one as they gather this night, drawn in from the busy scenes of life. And thou knowest those things which have occupied our minds this day, whether in the school, the college or university, at home or the workplace, and whether we have been near or far. But now through thy rich mercy, it hath pleased thee to grant us that measure of health and strength, and brought us each here in safety, for which we would be thankful. And now are we all here present before God. We have come professedly to worship thee, but oh, to be found a spiritual worshipper, worshipping God in spirit and in truth. We pray that all the buyers and the sellers may be cast out, those things which would disturb, those things which would distract, those things which would take our minds away. Oh, control our minds, fix them upon things above. Lord, thou knowest the needs of each and every one, the spiritual needs, the providential needs. Oh, supply every need. Attend to every case. Remember each soul. Those who have come prayerfully. Those who have come seeking a portion for their soul. Seeking a word in season. Seeking a crumb from under the Master's table. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Those who may be passing through deep waters, fiery trials, any cast down by the hardness of the way. Lord, those in need of thy appearing, in need of thy help, in need of thy direction, in need of thy support, in need of thy strength. O Lord, remember each soul. And if there be found any who have come in prayerlessly, Lord, in mercy touch their hearts, that they will leave prayerfully. O Lord, we pray for those unable to be here this night who would be here if they could. And thou knowest those things which have detained them, whether at home with the little ones, whether caught up in employment, whether away at this time, whether in sickness or affliction or weakness. Lord, we would lovingly remember them unto thee. And any who could have come, but had no desire to come, Lord, in mercy touch their hearts. Oh, remember this cause of truth. Be mindful of them and be pleased to bless them and work mightily in their midst. Pull down the strongholds of Satan. And build up thy kingdom here below in the hearts of many. Remember the officers of the church and grant all needed wisdom and grace and help. Bless the church here. O Lord, may they be found at peace with brotherly love and in unity and harmony. And bless each one of the congregation from youngest to eldest. And if it could please thee, add unto them here both in church and congregation such as shall be saved. Remember thy servants who come here to preach from time to time, and may they ever come as the Lord's messengers in the Lord's message. And how we are reminded that we meet here this night, not as the engagements have been planned. For Lord, it hath pleased thee to lay thine afflictive hand upon thy servant who had engaged to be here this night. Lord, we would lovingly remember him. Oh, make all his bed in his sickness at this time. Draw near to him in an especial way. And oh, could it please thee to grant him healing, restoring, strengthening, sanctifying mercies. Oh, be unto him, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, Lord, do remember others known in great trials of affliction. Oh, could it please thee to grant healing mercies, where it be thy holy will. Lord, who have mercy upon Zion. O return with mercies unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. O how Zion is minished and brought so very low. O we pray, we beg, we plead for the return of the Holy Ghost. Shine upon the churches, lest they die. and have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. Oh, what can we say? But Lord, in wrath remember mercy and rule over those who rule over us. Oh, it's so evident that wisdom has been taken away from the wise. Lord, it is our prayer that thou wilt yet be pleased to raise up those to high office in our land and places of authority, those who truly love and fear thy name, those who seek to walk in thy ways, who cleave to that which is right. Oh, we see such little evidence of this, and how we sigh and cry over the abominations done in our land. Oh Lord, overturn and overturn and overturn the wicked desires of evil men. And as we look upon the nations of the earth at this tumultuous time, oh, it is our comfort to know that thou art upon the throne, Almighty God in control. Oh Lord, as the waves and billows roar all around the unsettledness, fix our eyes upon thee and enable us to trust in thee. Lord, help us now as we return to thy word. Do shine upon it that we may see light in thy light. Forgive us our every sin. Come and do us good. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 157. Mourning souls, by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released, but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
seeking that grace of dependence upon the Lord for his help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, and we shall read verse 29. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of a ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Matthew chapter 14, from verse 29. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Though we announce the verse as our text, really there is just one word resting upon my spirit to set before you tonight. And that is the only word in our text spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Come. And he said, that is Jesus, come. I feel quite sure you're all very well acquainted with this account. Following the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord Jesus would send away the multitude, but constrains his disciples to get into the ship to go before him unto the other side. And as even came, the Lord Jesus went up into that mountain apart to pray. And the ship with the disciples within, now in the midst of a sea, we do not ever read of a great storm, but we read, comparing the gospel accounts, that the wind was contrary, and it was dark, and the wind blew and the waves tossed that little ship. And it was not until the fourth watch of the night that Jesus came unto them. And yet coming to them, at first they thought it was a spirit walking upon the water. And they were greatly afraid, they were terrified, they were troubled. But straightway Jesus speaks unto them, It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, how the Lord Jesus comes to comfort his dear people in the depths of their troubles and trials. It is I. Be not afraid. Let us ever remember who is in control of the wind and the waves. It is I. Be not afraid. And yet Peter, also quick to speak, was dear Peter. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Which really brings us to our text. And he said, Come. Now, whatever one may think concerning Peter, what a great venture of faith that was. Remember, it's still the fourth watch of the night, and no doubt it would still have been virtually pitch darkness, and may have been little lights on the ship. Remember, the wind was still contrary. The wind was still blowing. The waves, no doubt, were very great, battering that ship. Oh, what a venture of faith for Peter. To step out of that ship, onto that water, to go to Jesus. But he had divine authority. You see, the Lord Jesus had said, Come. Come. And he obeyed. He obeyed. You see, even in this sense, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. they come at my call. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, it's not upon my mind to go into what follows concerning Peter, but more specifically, this word spoken by the Lord Jesus unto Peter, indeed unto all his dear people, come. We consider Adam, made in the image of God, there in the Garden of Eden, there made a perfect man, and yet capable of falling. And all that Satan tempted Eve, and how Adam and Eve took of that fruit, disobeying the holy word of God, in the day that thou eatest thereof, ye shall surely die. But they took of that fruit, and spiritually they died straight away. They lost that communion with God. Ah, there was no come then. But we read concerning Adam and Eve, the Lord drove them out of that garden. They could not live there. And there was that flaming sword to prevent anyone going back into that garden. Adam was under the covenant of works, and he fell, and he failed. And O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. For we are all born in sin, and shapen in iniquity. Let us go to Sinai, the mount that burned with fire, where the moral law was given, the Ten Commandments, and life promised unto those who keep those holy commandments of God. And yet how that mountain burned with fire, the sound of a trumpet, the thunders, the lightnings. Oh, one must not draw nigh unto that mount, lest it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Ah, there's no coming to Sinai. Why? Because we have broken that holy law of God. Though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. Ah, religious man left to himself. It really is found as that young man we read of in the gospel account, concerning the commandments, all these have I kept from my youth up. And like that Pharisee who went to the temple to pray and could boast of his goodness, could boast of his righteousness, could boast of his holiness. And that was what he was leaning upon for his salvation. And man left by nature who would be religious. You find their religion is one of works. One of what they have done. Oh, one of self-righteousness. One of self-goodness. One of bringing these things unto God. But dear friends, oh, if we know anything of the Spirit's work in our hearts, ye have not so learned Christ. Or how the Lord teaches his dear people. For really our text in one sense begins, ye must be born again. You see, there must be that spiritual life. Or there must be that which is wrought of God, wrought of a Holy Ghost. Really my mind goes back to John 10. My sheep hear my voice. The Lord speaks unto his dear people, and causes them to hear his voice through his holy word. These sacred scriptures which are able to make us wise unto salvation. Here revealed is that glorious plan of salvation. Here is the glorious gospel. Ah, What does the glorious gospel say? Come, but to whom? But to whom? Unto the Lord's dear people. Those who are brought to feel their need of him. Those who know something concerning the plague of their own hearts. Those who know that they are wretched, that they are ruined, that they are guilty, that they are vile, that they are hell deserving. And he said, come. Oh, the glorious gospel, the good news of salvation, the great wonder that there is a way of salvation. How man hates that doctrine of election. And yet, were it not for that doctrine of election, not one soul would be saved. Why? Because we have all sinned against God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all guilty and worthy of eternal damnation. Let that be very clear. You see, the wonders of election, that the Lord has chose out a people from every kindred, tribe, nation and tongue, whom he will save. You see, the wonderful mercy of God to save a rebellious people, to save a sinful people, to save an hell-deserving people. Oh, does it not speak of the mercy of God? And yet man by nature, the carnal mind is enmity against God, an enemy of God. Man by nature, or would rather live that life in opposition to the word of God, to the ways of God, to the truths of God. Deep down in his heart there is that cry, we will not have this man to reign over us. Away with him. Away with him. Oh, man by nature, he would be self-righteous, self-dependent, self-seeking, full of self-love. But no love unto the Lord Jesus. No desire to know him. No desire to follow him. But he would eat, drink and be merry. Careless and indifferent to a never-ending eternity before, which must be spent in either heaven or hell. And a religious man dreams up all these various visions of what he calls heaven and how he shall attain it. Or that we might be taught the truth as it is in Jesus. Heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. And how the Lord works in the hearts of his dear people. He shines the light of his truth into their hearts and discovers to them in measure the plague of their hearts. Reveals to them a little of that heart which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He shows them themselves as guilty sinners, lost, undone, perishing sinners. Those of you familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, you remember it was through the reading of the book, the Word of God, that Christian was brought into concern as the Spirit was pleased to apply the truth upon his heart. And he was brought to see that he was a sinner, and as a sinner worthy of eternal death. And all that cry, and that cry in each newborn soul, all that cry in every burdened soul, that cry in every guilty soul, all that cry in every perishing soul. What must I do to be saved? Where must I go? Or whither flee to escape the wrath that's due to me? And he said, come. Come. You see, we read these things. We may have that head knowledge concerning the truth of God, the truth of the Holy Word of God. Or we may have that head knowledge concerning the truths of salvation. But are they found in our hearts? Do we know ourselves as guilty sinners? Remember, it is appointed unto men once to die. There shall be no avoiding that. And after death, the judgment, there shall be no avoiding that. Each one of us has a never-ending eternity before us. These are most solemn truths, that we are all sinners. And as sinners, we deserve to be cast into hell forever. And perhaps the most solemn things concerning hell, it is a place where neither hope nor mercy can ever, ever come. But oh, the glorious sound of the gospel. And he said, come. So many souls in conviction of sin, where the Lord has sent that arrow of conviction into their hearts, where they are wounded, where they're in pain, in distress, or where they feel to be perishing, dying, where they feel to be without hope, without comfort, or they feel themselves the chief of sinners. Or they look back upon their lives of sin. Remember not the sins of my youth. Or the more perhaps they look into their sins and consider them, the more they see. Or they see their sins are so great, so terrible, so numerous. Or they feel to be so guilty, so wretched, and so vile. And oh, so lost. And they feel to be without hope. Without hope, the great mountain of their sins, the broken law of God, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And yet that cry, what must I do to be saved? And as the Spirit continues to teach, he teacheth that need of mercy. Oh, have we been taught our need of mercy? You see, the Spirit teacheth this by stripping us of not only all our own self-righteousness and self-goodness, but also stripping us of every other hope, every other way. Oh, how the Spirit so teacheth us that there is none other foundation laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. And he said, come. And in teaching us that there is no other way, that one cannot save themselves, and how many poor deluded souls there are around who look to salvation in a false god, in a graven image, or upon their own works or merits. But how the Lord teacheth his dear people. And again, have we been taught this solemn truth, that it's none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And there we see the door of God's mercy. And only there we see the door of God's mercy. And he said, come. And these souls, they're taught to come. They're taught to come because they're drawn. You see how the Lord draws his dear people. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, that's all his own dear people, Jew and Gentile, unto myself. And we see also the Spirit at work, drawing those souls unto a precious Jesus, that I may know him. And he said, come. But how often these seeking souls, oh, they look at their sins, like Peter looked at the waves and the billows, and they begin to sink. They begin to sink because they feel to be so guilty, so wretched. There cannot be any mercy for me. I must have sinned beyond the limits of God's love. Well, there are no limits of God's love unto his dear people. You see, it's this, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And the Lord draws his dear people as poor, humble suppliants who come begging for mercy. Really, they take up the language of a dear hymn writer, based upon the word of God. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Their only hope would be found in the mercy of God, but through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are taught by the Spirit to look to Jesus only. We think of that when the disciples were taken to that Mount of Transfiguration, and that cloud descended upon that mount, and how they trembled when they heard the voice of God, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And we read, and they looked up, and saw no man save Jesus only. And he said, come. So much upon my mind is this text in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. They hear the voice of Jesus, but through his word. As the Lord speaks to them the things concerning himself. And as such, he draws them unto himself as their only hope, as their only plea. They come believing. They come with that dear man of old, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Or do we not feel to be so troubled with our evil heart of unbelief? That besetting sin, the very opposite of faith, that which would hinder, or that which troubles many a seeking soul, or that terrible sin of unbelief. We read in Hebrews concerning the children of Israel, those who did not enter into the promised land. Why? Because of their unbelief. They refused to believe the word of God. Oh, they refused to look to him and trust in him. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Oh, you may be saying, well, how is it that one can labor, therefore, to enter into that rest? Well, we have it in that final verse. Let us, therefore, come boldly. Here we have a come. A come boldly. Where? to the throne of grace. Who sitteth upon the throne of grace? The King of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Every grace and every favour flows to us through Jesus' precious blood. And he is the propitiation of our sins, the mercy seat of our sins. And here we see at the throne of grace, the seat of mercy. Now sprinkled upon and about with the precious blood of Jesus, for a new, a living way has been made for sinners' approach unto God. All the wonderful benefits of the mercy seat, that we poor sinners upon this earth can draw nigh unto God. That we can come boldly. Do not misunderstand it. That is not that self-confident, arrogant boldness, but that humble boldness. I often like to think of this verse likened to Queen Esther, when she would come before the king. She would venture by faith. I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. But she would venture. And as she ventured, what happened? The king held out that golden scepter. See in this verse, that golden scepter held out for poor, needy, trembling sinners who would venture near. Let us therefore come boldly, because there is a way. There is a way, but unto the throne of grace. Firstly, that we may obtain mercy. Have you ever thought of that in this beautiful verse? The throne of grace, where poor sinners may come to obtain mercy. Oh, what a wonderful promise is found here. For sitting upon the throne of grace is a King of grace. Now, what was said concerning the King of grace while he was here upon earth? This man receiveth sinners. Oh, it was spoken in such scorn and hatred. And yet to the child of God, oh, it's such a wonderful, blessed, glorious truth. This man receiveth sinners. And he said, come, that we may obtain mercy. What did the Lord Jesus say? I came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but sinners unto repentance. And he said, come, that we may obtain mercy. And now, in heaven, oh, what do we read concerning the Lord Jesus? But this man, this same Jesus, the once crucified, but now risen, ascended, exalted Saviour. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, there we have our divine intercessor at the right hand of God in heaven above, who also maketh intercession for them, who also, yes, because we have an intercessor here upon earth, even the Holy Spirit. Likewise also the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints upon earth. Let me just quote that correctly. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, those groanings of a poor sinner who comes pleading for mercy. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. You see how the Spirit grants those promptings from within and teacheth us how we should pray. Or how the Lord Jesus spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. And how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, do pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost to teach us to pray aright. The prayer indicted by the Lord will surely hear. And where that cry comes from a broken heart, from a poor and needy guilty sinner, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Or you see, the child of God, a burdened soul, oh, would be so kept from making a mere lip confession of his sins and a lip prayer unto God, but there is that wrought in his heart. And he cries out for mercy. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Yes, thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace, where mercy may be obtained and also and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, grace to help. But he giveth more grace. Those principal graces of faith, hope, and charity. Just think of that hymn where the hymn writer speaks comparing Joshua's come hither to those of the dear Lord Jesus. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest and know that he's your conquering Lord. But it's this verse. Does Satan tempt you to give up and call no more on Jesus' name? Cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. Oh, the last prophet before the Lord Jesus came was John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, who was given that wonderful faith, who pointed to the Lord Jesus there by the River Jordan. Behold the Lamb of God. And how the ministry of the Lord Jesus was that of come, but unto his dear people, or unto his chosen people, unto those who truly felt their need of him, or those who felt to be so guilty, so wretched, so vile, so lost, so undone. Does that speak the language of our hearts? Or have we been taught our need of the Lord Jesus to save us from our sins? Is sin a heavy burden to us? Do we feel the weight of it, the guilt of it? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest unto your souls. But come unto me. And he said, come, come. For where the word of a king is, there is power. And how the Spirit takes of the things of Jesus and applies them with divine power upon the soul. And that soul is taught not just their felt need of the Lord Jesus, but they believe that the Lord Jesus is able to save. Yes, they believe that he's mighty to save. But often with a question to many, it's, is he willing to save? Willing to save such a wretched sinner as I? Is he willing to save one so guilty as I? Or is he willing to say, one as filthy as I? Or is he willing to save one so wretched as I feel to be? Able to save, yes. Mighty to save, yes. But willing to save. But again, how the Lord teacheth his dear people. And really it's this. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Or they venture as poor, needy sinners. They come just as they are. They come hoping in God's mercy, but they come looking unto Jesus. They believe that his precious blood that he shed both at Gethsemane and at Calvary cleanseth from all sin. Because they believe the holy word of God. Or they believe those things concerning him. Or they believe those sacred, solemn truths. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or the mercy seat for our sins. I feel quite sure there's one or another here. You believe these truths. You believe these doctrines. But what you long for is that revelation of the Lord Jesus unto your soul. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. That I may win Christ and be found in him. Oh, you long to be made sure with that sweet and that good hope through grace. That you are numbered amongst the Lord's dear people. That your sins have been forgiven. That you are found clothed upon in his glorious spotless robe of righteousness. Oh, you're found, I believe, seeking Jesus. Longing to know him. Longing to be found in him. And he said, come. Now, we mentioned at the beginning what a venture of faith it was to Peter to step out of that ship, to walk upon that stormy water, to go unto the Lord Jesus. Now, we're not told how far he did walk, and we must leave that. But what we would be told, he must have been found looking unto Jesus. For it must have been when he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus, he began to sink. But you say, he could see the Lord Jesus. With his natural sight, he could see the Lord Jesus as he would walk to him. Well, the Lord Jesus is now in heaven. For we walk by faith. And not by sight. Now that living faith the Lord grants unto his dear people, like Queen Esther again, that venturing faith. That venturing in hope unto him. That looking unto Jesus. I know often we feel troubled and burdened whether we possess any real living faith. As the Lord Jesus spake unto these, wherefore didst thou doubt, O ye of little faith? At times we may feel be a mercy if we possess little faith. Oh, but may it be our cry, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And perhaps if we are very, very troubled concerning our faith, Lord, give me that faith. Oh, that living faith. That faith of God's elect, that faith to believe, that faith to venture, that faith to lay hold on eternal life, that faith to be found looking unto Jesus. Let me just speak a little concerning faith in the context of, and he said, come. We think of Hebrews 11. We think of Noah, that he was warned of God concerning that flood, that deluge. And by faith, he built that ark to the saving of his soul. But by faith, and how throughout that lovely chapter, Hebrews 11, by faith, the Lord's dear people, and it leads into chapter 12, the cloud of witnesses, run with patience the race set before us, how? By faith, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus alone, as our only hope, as our only plea, as our only refuge, our only place of safety, our only hiding place, our only strong tower, seeking to be found in him. As the ark, when completed, we read, the Lord shut him in. I believe the Lord spoke to Noah, come thou into the ark. And his seeking souls would be found coming into the ark, the Lord Jesus. Where salvation is found alone. Where safety is found alone. Once in him forever. And he said, come. The Lord shut him in. All to be found shut into Christ. Our only rest. And our only hope. And he said, come. All the language of this beautiful gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, come. Oh, the Lord so grant us that faith to venture on him. Oh, to venture on his holy word. Again, feel burdened to turn to another hymn writer. I know this hymn was made such a wonderful help and encouragement to me. Some years ago now, 377. Upon him call in humble prayer. Thou still art his peculiar care. He'll surely turn and smile again, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. However sinful, weak and poor, still wait and pray at mercy's door. Faithful Jehovah must remain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. Now that's a wonderful truth concerning the throne of grace, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. And he said, come. One further thought. And he said, come, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now it must be with the disciples of the Lord Jesus, for the Spirit will teach them, there must be that of self-denial. You see, the opposite is self-righteousness, self-dependence, self-seeking, self-love, and we could go on. But the Lord teacheth his dear people, to be true followers of the Lord Jesus, to deny self. Yes, very painful to the flesh to deny self. And I believe we live in a day and age when there's very, very little denying of self. You know, left to ourselves, the greatest idol that we serve, that we bow down to, is self, the great I. Oh, may the Lord teach us to deny self and then to take up our cross, what the Lord is pleased to lay upon us. But remember this, consider him. His way was much rougher and harder than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? And how often the Lord's dear people, like the children of Israel, sadly, solemnly, of our murmuring concerning their lot, their pathway, is very difficult, it's very trying, it's very dark at times. At times we're found full of rebellion. Oh, rebellion against the will of God. Rebellion concerning his commandments. Rebellion concerning what he sees fit to lay upon us, to lead us into. And he led them forth by the right way. You see, the Lord will only lead his people forth by the right way. And he said, come. Come. Ah, that there is a way of life. That there is a way which leadeth unto heaven. But it's a narrow way. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. But what a mercy if we're of that few. It is through much tribulation that ye shall enter into the kingdom of God. But the mercy is, by grace, we shall enter into the kingdom of God. And he said, come. Of course, there is the church of God. And the Lord has seen fit that there should be local churches, groups of believers who believe in the Lord Jesus. And he said, come. The ordinances, baptism, follow me, the Lord's Supper. And he said, come to remember him. One final thought. There shall be a final come unto the Lord's dear people. And it shall be spoken by the Lord God Almighty. On that great and solemn day. Come. Ah, to those who have spent their lives in doubts and fears and troubles and trials and sorrows. The hardness of the way. Come thou blessed of the Lord, inherit the kingdom which is prepared even for you. Yea, to be with Christ, which is far better. And he said, come. Now, I shall just close as it comes to mind with this hymn. It's not in Gadsby's. It's a most beautiful hymn. If we can really enter into the language of it, the language of the hymn being the language of our hearts. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come.
Lord willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Hadley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1156. What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. Hymn 1156.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.